Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome into Morning Invest on this December 28th. Hey, it's my mom's birthday.
It is?
December 28th. Happy birthday, mom. I think she might be watching the show today. If you are, say hello in the chat, mom. Happy birthday, mom. Coming up on the show, we're going to talk about why politicians' approval ratings, the new report out about politicians' approval ratings, and some of these people on this list got really high approval ratings, and we're scratching our head about it. So we'll go through that today on the show.
Also, how has the pandemic and lockdowns affected children? We knew this wouldn't be good, but a new study out of the National Institute of Health confirms that it's not good.
And is NASA getting ready for worldwide alien disclosure? I mean, it's about time. We all know that they've been working on this for many, many years and downed UFOs. But now they're hiring theologians to prepare all of us for what this world will be like once we realize that we are not alone. All of that and more as Morning Invest starts right now. All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome into Morning Invest. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
This is the only show that you need in the mornings because all of the mainstream media is a bunch of garbage. Wouldn't you say that?
I would say that. And we're going to tell you how we're not alone in feeling that way later in the show, why people are ditching media. We'll get to that.
Yes, we will. But first, let's start with your news headlines this morning because we've got new COVID numbers out this morning. New data out of South Africa on Omicron. We'll get to that, which is actually pretty encouraging. But states reporting this morning a record number across the United States, 512 cases on Monday. That is the most for a single day since the start of the pandemic. Yeah, that's pretty unbelievable. Meanwhile, the Centers for Disease Control, CDC, on Monday reduced the recommendation for isolation periods for people infected from COVID-19 to 5 days, down from 10 days. Now, get this, okay? This new guidance reflects growing evidence that people with the virus are only infectious for 1 or 2 days. It took us this long to figure this out before the onset of the symptoms and then 2 to 3 days afterwards. So then we're having these people in lockdowns for 10 days? Or maybe they took this long to listen to us or actual data. I mean, 2 days, that's it?
People that have known this for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, well, think about when we were under lockdown. How long were we under lockdown once we had the kids?
Forever.
Yeah, it felt like forever.
Like 27 days.
Like my sister had, it was like a rolling, like her daughter then tested positive and then the one was negative. And they were home for like a month.
Yes.
A month for these guidelines.
Because there was one that refused to test positive. So she continued to get her exposure date pushed out because she was exposed to her siblings that she lived. But the siblings, they were under eight days only of lockdown. It's torture.
It's crazy. Meanwhile, D.C., Maryland, Virginia all hit records yesterday. Florida is now back at a major hotspot, and U.S. hospitals are at capacity as President Biden did something very strange yesterday during his meeting with governors. This got a lot of people wondering and shaking their heads, like, what is he talking about, right? If there's no, he said basically he agreed with the Republican governors that each state should deal with this differently and that there's no federal response to COVID. Here is the president speaking to reporters, to these governors yesterday. Let's listen.
Look, there is no federal solution. This gets solved at a state level. Seeing how tough it was for some folks to get a test this weekend shows that we have more work to do. When I took office, we were 10 months into the pandemic, and even so, we had zero over-the-counter home tests in the United States. So we got to work. We quadrupled the number of pharmacies offering a free test. And there are now more than 20,000 places where you can get tested for free. For over-the-counter at-home tests, as I said, there were none when we took office. None.
So there's no federal response? I mean, did you hear that? He's admitting we have no federal response to COVID. This has to be handled at the state level. Meanwhile, hasn't the Biden administration been suing certain states over there the way they've handled COVID?
Yes.
Yeah, look at Florida. Crazy. Like, Florida's been one of the ones that has actually done something to reduce numbers, and they get crapped on all the time.
I mean, I'm just throwing up my hands at this point. because I just can't wrap my head around it. So,
but it seems like because on the campaign trail, he was so adamant that there needed to be a federal response. And the reason we were doing so poorly is because Trump refused to do that. And he wanted each state to take care of it. And so that's something he said, like, we need federal leadership.
Right.
He said those words.
We need leadership. Yeah, exactly. He said
and
those during debates.
And now he's like, well, now that it's to me, it's like, actually.
Yeah, but are we surprised? He's done that with everything.
No. And Dr. Fauci admitting yesterday that the administration has failed to distribute enough home COVID vaccine tests as Omicron cases spike 41% overnight and lines form at testing sites.
But if this is the case, if there is no federal response, let's take that as true for 1 second. Let's pretend we believe that. Then you must close all state borders. If every state has to deal with it by itself,
well, then,
by who? Every state should be.
The state should do that?
Then each state should, then each man for himself, if that's what it's got to be, right?
So then, again, this comes back to this idea of, like, civil war in the United States. Like,
yeah.
Should we just be 50 different countries?
What do they consider the federal mandates then, though?
Right, that's the thing,
response.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was going to be my next point here, which is that, you know, so he says there's no federal, you know, this can't be handled at the federal level, and yet the federal response to COVID is there because he's had, you know, federal vaccine mandates.
And Build Back Better has money for federal response to COVID, which he still wants.
Right. So if there's no federal response.
So strip that out of Build Back Better then, Mr. President?
So I'm just throwing up my hands. I can't wrap my head around it. I mean, and other countries that have handled it so much better, and you shake your head at the way that the United States has just bumbled this from the beginning.
Yeah. From the beginning. And the thing is, like, from the very beginning as well, a lot of people are asking, like, they know now that these tests that they're using, they did not do an antigen test. The tests that they're using are not accurate. And second, they are talking about, you know, only vaccines. They're not talking about any kind of prevention or anything. And there was another point that I had. I can't remember what it was now.
That happens to me all the time.
Especially when anytime I'm going to make 3 points,
all
I know I'm lucky if I get the first two.
Yes.
The other one was that they don't know where these real time numbers come from. They can't verify how they're getting these real time. This is how many cases there are. And especially if you're getting it out of false positives all the time. So those numbers have not been right from the beginning.
And when he was vice president, the Obama administration actually spent taxpayer dollars on pandemic preparedness for there to be a federal response to pandemics.
Right.
So this was something he did believe in recent memory.
Yeah, they had a plan, like literally during Trump, during the Obama administration, we had this federal response to a pandemic.
Like practice runs, you know, we wrote the manual. We just didn't follow the manual. Like
utilizing FEMA, utilizing the CDC, all of these things.
And then, if there's no federal response, then we need no FDA because that is a federal agency, right? That makes medical.
So is the CDC.
Yeah, then we don't need the CDC either, right? So, yeah, what is the federal
response? Maybe we're parsing words here, but it's an infuriating thing to say because.
It's hypocritical and it's confounding both from a legal perspective and from an ethical perspective. I mean, if you're literally telling people that you're going to lose your job, we're going to kick you out of the military. They lost a ton of Marines in the past week because of the federal vaccination mandate.
Yes. Yeah.
And same thing with healthcare workers. So now they're bringing in the National Guard. So again, you're bringing in the National Guard to help at hospitals because healthcare workers were being forced to have vaccines. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
Right. And think about this. Think about like every president runs on getting rid of the policies of the previous president, right? That's like their major thing. And then they get in office and they just continue them anyway. It doesn't really matter what they are. Yeah. They end up continuing them. And the thing is, if Trump would have done these mandates, if Trump would have put the military in hospitals and done the same thing the Biden admin's doing, he would have gotten like raked across his coals, like kicked off of Twitter. Like he would have been facing a lot more than Biden is.
Well, you make a really good point about how the Biden administration is suing states over their COVID responses, right? And so if you're one of those lawyers, you're the defendant's lawyer based on like in Texas or Florida or Michigan, you're salivating over this because he has just said something publicly to the media that proves your case, right?
Like, can we roll this soundbite of the president?
Absolutely, you can, because what Trump said to Lester Holt was used against him in many courts and legal proceedings. So this absolutely is fodder. Yeah. This is data.
Meanwhile, is the president getting bad medical advice? Dr. Markey from Johns Hopkins University said that this whole vaccination versus unvaccination, pitting population against population, is the wrong way to handle this. And he thinks that President Biden is getting bad medical advice from his team. Let's listen to Dr. Markey on this question.
Comes down, you know, this is in line with the idea that we need to make the life of the unvaccinated miserable. And that's basically an edict that has come from the White House and from many advisors to the White House. I don't think the White House is getting good medical advice. This is hardening people in their position. And the entire construct of the vaccinated and unvaccinated is a false construct. It should be more medically precise as the immune and the non-immune.
Hallelujah, right? Immune and non-immune. New data this morning shows that too many shots also may be harming the body's ability to fight the virus. This according to scientists in Israel. That country is ready right now to roll out their new vaccination program for the fourth booster, the fourth shot in that country. This country has been vaccination happy, getting ready for a fourth shot. But now we know that according to data from Israeli scientists, I'll put this up on the screen, the proposal to give a fourth dose to the most at risk drew criticism from other scientists and medical professionals who said it was premature and perhaps even counterproductive. Some experts have warned that too many shots eventually may lead to a sort of immune system fatigue, compromising the body's ability to fight the virus. I will say in this data, I was going through this data, it's mostly the scientists in Israel are worried about the elderly specifically. So giving the elderly too many shots could compromise the ability, and it could create immune COVID virus fatigue or immunity fatigue.
I don't think a lot of people realize, too, that so when they manipulated the virus, they added the spike, right? The spike protein. So the spike protein is synthetic. So in the vaccines, they replicated the synthetic spike. And so when they give you the vaccine, you're actually getting a jolt of this spike protein that's higher than you get from COVID. And it goes to all these various places. So you're getting a synthetic thing that stays in your body that is a foreign agent. So your body is not used to fighting synthetic things. So it goes crazy trying to figure out how to fight it, right? Because whether you get COVID or whether you get that, it's a synthetic spike. So this spike can stay in your system for 15 months each time you get that shot.
So and I guess that's what these scientists in Israel are saying, is that it's combining that. And so specifically elderly people, and yet that's the concern. So they're pushing these boosters there, these fourth shots for people over 60. So again, you have a government, on the one hand, you have the scientists in Israel saying, wait a second, that's a bad move. We should wait. And then you have the government in Israel saying, we just approved this fourth shot now for people over 60.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, aren't you listening to your scientists? They're telling you that this is going to cause an immune fatigue in your body. But we do have some positive news this morning out of South Africa. Because scientists at the Africa Health Research Institute looked at 15 vaccinated and unvaccinated people who'd been infected with Omicron. And when they tested their blood samples against the Delta variant, they found more than fourfold increase in antibodies against the virus over a 2-week period. And the data basically showed that people who were vaxxed had a slightly better response, but not much. So basically, people who get this mild Omicron are basically inoculated against the stronger Delta strains. So what are we panicking about? Again, I come back to that question. If Omicron is actually helping people, it's just a mild nose, runny nose, you know, it's a cough, a little scratchy throat, but it's actually protecting you against this more harmful variant. What are we freaking out about?
Yeah. No. I don't know. You know, it's like everything they say to new moms when your kid gets sick. It's like, oh, good. They need to get sick. It strengthens their immune system. We do believe that about children.
Right.
It's just our fear of COVID has sort of surpassed any reason at this point.
Well, more news to get to. We got a stimulus plan for Americans, but we can't get, We can't get a stimulus plan for Americans, but we can absolutely get a massive war budget to keep bombing other countries. President Biden authorized yesterday $768 billion in defense spending for 2022 on Monday. This budget passed with flying colors through Congress last month. There was nary a complainer in sight.
Wait, where was the, what do they call it? The, where they stand and I can't even remember what that thing is called. The bill of filibuster. Where was the filibuster on this?
Oh, there was no filibuster. No.
Not on this.
Phil and Buster were nowhere to be seen. They were on vacation. They had nothing to complain about because this 2022 budget is 5% higher than last year. Includes 2.7% pay increase for troops, which is not very much when you consider people living in Social Security will get a 5.9% increase in 2022 due to inflation. And we should point out the new inflationary numbers this morning are about 5%. So, okay,
no raise at all, really.
That's no raise at all.
And Biden asked for a certain amount, and they just threw up more on top of it. They just
$24 billion more. Yeah. He asked for specifically in the 750s, and Congress gave him $24 billion more. Just there you go.
Yeah, we can't get a stimulus. They can't figure this out. And, you know, Natalie brought up the point in the newsletter this morning, you know, like, why is the spending package so big, but the military personnel get so little so they can buy as many bombs as they want? But
They said it's to prepare for China and Russia.
Right.
Yeah.
China and Russia. We got to prepare. That's why we threw in this extra $24 billion in here. And we've got a meeting scheduled with Russia on January 10th. The Biden administration had requested just $753 billion for the upcoming year. But Congress just went ahead and said, hey, we're going to sweeten the pot a little bit. We're going to throw this money on top of you, another $24 billion on top. No problem here. The U.S. has the largest military budget on the planet, more than triple that of China, the second largest military spender. So,
you know, I always thought like
our money.
It's like Monsters, Inc. It's like we've been trying fear for all this time. It's like we've never tried laughter. We've never once tried like, let's go put on tank tops and shorts and let's go into some of these countries with food and let's actually help people and see like how the opinion of the United States would change overnight if we actually helped people instead of killed them.
We should have like the dude from Big Lebowski, like have him roll in like, hey. Hey, it's the dude here.
Don't send Walter with him.
I'm from America. America. I'm here to help.
Instead, we got the nihilists.
Yeah. Send the nihilists, but don't send Walter with him because Walter will cause a war because his friends didn't die face down in the muck for nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, an update now on the Ghislaine Maxwell trial. Ghislaine.
We're going to call her G-Max.
G-Max.
From now on.
G-Max, Epstein's right-hand woman. Looks like the jury in the Ghislaine Maxwell trial G-Max. Is not close to reaching a verdict. According to court watchers, the jury is nowhere near being ready for a verdict, and they are diving deeper into the word enticement. Do you guys know what enticement means? They asked for the judge to define what this word meant to them and what exactly it means, because she would be charged with enticement. So that they better figure this out. I love that they literally have to ask the judge for their exact definition of this. Enticement actually means something used to attract or tempt someone, like a lure, like when you're enticing a fish.
Kind of like the propaganda that we get every day from the government.
Yeah, that's an enticement to believe or pay taxes. The jurors also asked for, get this, a multicolored sticky note pile and a whiteboard, along with transcripts of some trial testimony. Anytime you ask for a whiteboard and sticky notes, you know things are going to take a while. Meanwhile, the judge in the trial has told the jury to prepare to stay late tonight until a verdict is reached. The judge does not want this dragging on for another day, so he's telling them prepare to stay late tonight. This thing, if they're asking for a whiteboard and sticky notes, this thing is going to go on and on and on.
Yeah.
So there's a look at your news headlines this morning.
I got just really quick, like how big were the sticky notes, the full size ones or the small size ones? Because I think if they're small, it's going to take a lot longer.
Definitely. Probably the small ones. And, you know, the court, they have no money. They're like looking around. They're like, we don't even have sticky notes. We don't even have a whiteboard. Someone's got to go down to Staples and buy this kind of stuff. This is what they're dealing with right now. All right. We're going to get to more news here in a moment. We're going to tell you about what's happening with politicians and children under the COVID lockdown. But I want to tell you about our first show sponsor, our friends at Hone Health. Now, have you been feeling tired? Have you been feeling any kind of rundown? Well, it may be hormonal. Not just the holidays getting to you. It may be more than all of that. And, you know, if you have no energy to make it through the day, you're having a hard time putting on any muscle mass at all, maybe your libido is not what it used to be, well, your hormones could be to blame. And here's what's so interesting about Hone Health. Hone Health is an easy-to-use at-home assessment test where you can learn your testosterone levels. And for a limited time only, listeners get the at-home testing for a doctor and a doctor consultation for only $45. I'll tell you more how you can get that in a second. But did you know that testosterone levels have decreased substantially over generations. Our father's generation had testosterone levels that were 25% higher than ours today. And the thing is, it's not our fault. There's so many factors like environmental changes. There are 30 million men in the United States that have low testosterone that's affecting their daily lives. And Hone Health can help you figure this out. Testosterone is more than just a sex hormone. It affects energy levels, muscle mass, focus, overall mood. And Hone helps men get testing and treatment for low testosterone from the comfort of your own home. They have an easy process. They collect a sample. You mail it into the lab. Once the results are ready, you'll video chat with a real doctor. The doctor will recommend a personalized treatment plan based on your biomarkers and your symptoms. Treatment includes FDA-approved medication delivered straight to your door. I'm not a medical expert at all. Hone Health is, and they will be there with you every step of the way. So how to get this right now for only $45, go to honehealth.com/invest to take advantage now. That's Hone, H-O-N-E, health.com/invest to get the at-home testing and doctor consultation for only $45. You see it right there on your screen. Go to honehealth.com/invest to take advantage now and to learn about your testosterone levels and take advantage of this great discount. So our thanks to them for supporting the show.
Well, a new Gallup poll is out and shows approval ratings of the most popular and talked about politicians and public figures and public servants in the United States. It's a strange list because it only really mentions the people that you might know, right? So we're not talking about Secretary of Defense or anything like that. Well, okay, who has the highest numbers? U.S. Supreme Court Justice John Roberts is at the top of the list with a 60% approval rating. At the bottom are the two leaders of Congress, Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell has a 34% approval rating. And
I'm surprised 60- it's that high.
Yeah. Who are those people? Nancy Pelosi has a 40% approval rating.
What? These are all donors who have contributed to this
and
poll.
And only slightly above those numbers is President Joe Biden at 43%. So those are pretty low numbers. Yeah. Sorry. But topping the list, the top three are, like I mentioned, Justice John Roberts, Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell. That one has me scratching my head. I think, I don't know, maybe they're asking people who just kind of know the names and general media bent about them, right?
Yeah.
Like, are these people actually studying the jobs? And then number three is Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease.
Wow.
So people like him.
Dr. Fauci, because they did such a big PR campaign for him, like back in the day, you know.
Well, I mean, they even got a documentary out of him, you know, on Disney. Like,
yeah, he's got a children's book. Yeah. And yeah. So people seem to, I mean, 47%. I mean, that's not necessarily a high approval rating. That's right along the middle.
Wait, what is the number?
52% approve, 47% disapprove.
52, that's still half the country in this poll say that Dr. Fauci is okay.
But if you think about the amount of people who are thinking critically in this moment, that's pretty low, right? So people are only answering based on their own conviction bias. So what media do they consume? What headlines do they see?
Exactly.
Who's on their social media? They're not actually thinking like, oh, let me read a book or do some research about, this in a contextual way.
If they watch the mainstream media, then Fauci is still highly regarded and held as like a hero.
He gets a lot of airtime too, though. Yeah. I think that's
interesting. He's on TV every day. I mean, literally,
propagandist.
This was yesterday. I mean, he was on CNN yesterday. On Sunday, he was on the Sunday shows. I mean, he was on CNN yesterday talking about cases and spewing some craziness, by the way. I mean, like, this is like what he said yesterday in the face of this new data. Like, let's listen to what he said. This is exactly why I'm scratching my head about this.
The other thing that's going on there, as you probably know, is that it looks like the degree of severity of the disease is considerably less than they experienced with Delta. We're seeing inklings of that now in the United States, the UK.
Okay, so you heard him, right? Omicron, very, very mild, not a big deal. And then in the same breath,
is also seeing that. So I do hope that we do have the net effect is a diminution in the degree of severity. But the sheer volume of cases that we're seeing now, yesterday we had 214,000 cases. Even with a diminution in severity, we still could have a surge on hospitals, particularly among the unvaccinated, which they...
Again, flying in the face of your own data, your own research, what the administration has been saying, what we're seeing from scientists across the board, what we just did in our whole top segment here this morning. Again, you say one thing and then you're saying the exact opposite in the same breath.
That was
well,
the point.
Well, you
that,
say
that
one thing and use it in order to like come to a different conclusion that serves the government.
Right.
Well, and there were other scientists that that they had on the board to talk to Fauci and the administration. And these people showed up with data, showed up with facts and all this other stuff, but they never wanted to hear it and finally got rid of those people that actually were coming in with information. So what data are they even looking at? If they didn't want to see these people's data of actual numbers, they're just, you know, inflating everything.
Well, I think we shouldn't.
I'm a scientist.
Yeah, don't question me.
I don't think we should put too much stock into this Gallup poll because most of them are split down the board. The only really polarized people here who either have extremely good or extremely bad are the two leaders of Congress and Supreme Court Justice John Roberts. That one, I'm not sure why people like him so much, why he's
well,
got
I always
such...
question these polls anyway, because it's like, we don't see the questions. We don't see the demographic. We don't like see who they actually polled. Like we don't know. Are they still calling people with phones? You know what I mean?
No, they do give a methodology. They always do in a Gallup poll and they'll tell you, you know, so I think because they're all so split down the middle, we can kind of surmise that this is just this is not a result of deep thought. It's just someone calls you, you give him a ranking.
Do we have Manchin? What was just, his approval? Was
Manchin's not on here, but House Leader Kevin McCarthy is. Kamala Harris has 44%, which is higher than the president by only 1 point. Attorney General Merrick Garland at 49%, same as Secretary of State Antony Blinken, excuse me.
It's because no one knows who he is.
Antony.
The Secretary of State?
Yeah.
We will once we start to use all that military money.
I guess when we have our meetings with Russia, then maybe we'll actually have some Antony Blinken headlines to talk about. Mm. People know who he is. Most people don't even know who the Vice President of the United States is. So, yeah, I don't know. All right, we've got more news to get to. I want to talk about this story. Look, we all had an idea that this was going to be bad, going under lockdown, how this was going to affect our children, these restrictions. We've reported here on the show for many, many months how difficult this was, especially for underprivileged children who didn't have any access to internet. 12 million children who just didn't have any access to internet. They had to get in their cars. They had to drive to a parking lot of a school district, sit in the car and they would put Wi-Fi hotspots inside of a bus. And they would sit in the car while the parents just like ran the engine to keep them heated in the car. And they would sit there and use the Wi-Fi hotspot from the bus in the parking lot of the school. Like that's got to be great for learning. Well, we have a new report out this morning that the nation's recent lockdown policies and mask mandates created a generation of children who exhibit lower IQs and signs of social brain damage, according to a clinical psychiatrist for children and adolescents and this new study out of Brown University.
So the study was actually sponsored by the National Institute of Health and showed that children, very young children born during the pandemic, who were either in utero during the early stages of the pandemic or are in preschool at this moment, do show levels of cognitive decline, lower vocabulary skills, and lower cognitive functioning so many factors. We could just start listing them right now and that would take up the whole rest of the show. It does, though, show that boys are more predisposed to this amount of stress and the cognitive decline. And we, you know, expect to see though that as a result of test results or test scores and academic performance in this generation to come. But it does show that having money buffers you from this experience. Because, people of lower socioeconomic status experience these negative impacts more. Why? Because They don't have help in the home because they can't pay for any extra resources, extra tutoring. They maybe didn't have the access to broadband and private schools. And so, again, it matters when you think about, oh, but there's no federal response to COVID. There really was no federal response to learning either. There was no standardization of what was going to happen to all of these students and all of these children, even though daycare centers opened up long before schools. It matters. In fact, there was a friend of mine was telling me this story, or was it you that told me this story? You are my friend, but
I'm not just a friend. I'm a husband.
And they say he's just a friend. About a child who was in New York City who one of my friends said, like, someone came up to help him, hand him his ball or something, and the kid freaked out because they're not used to other adults. And any childhood development book will tell you what do children need when they are immature and their brains are development is human touch, human interaction, and specifically, this is something I've been really worried about, is eye contact, mm-hmm. And facial expressions, because children who can't speak read nonverbal cues. In fact, humans are one of the only primates that have the whites of their eyes showing. And so we direct children, look there, look at mommy, go to that ball, right? With our eyes and our facial expression. And in a world of masks and lockdowns and not interacting with other people, not having multiple adults, it affects these children and it breaks my heart.
It really does. If you look at the studies, I mean, in these doctors that say, Carl Hennigan, who's director of Oxford University Center for Evidence-Based Medicine, said that, that 8 out of 10 children in their study in adolescents report a worsening of behavior or psychological symptoms or an increase in negative feelings due to COVID-19 pandemic. School closures, he says, contributed to increased anxiety, loneliness, stress, negative feelings due to COVID-19 increase with the duration of the school closure. So the longer they were home, the worse off these kids were. Specifically, deteriorating mental health was found to be worse in females, which I found interesting, and older adolescents. What do you think accounts for that on the female side?
Repeat the statistics. That
deteriorating mental health was found to be worse in females.
Female child, mm-hmm. children?
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but I found it interesting that they did not find any change in perceived stress of the mother, which just shows you that mothers are right. Like, we can handle it. And so even though it was more stressful for us, we just kept handling it.
We know you guys are strong.
Mic drop is what I'm going to say to that. Yeah,
you guys are strong.
we take it for the team, you guys.
But gets me too really is that, like, there was so much data in Sweden showing, like, they did not do that. They didn't pull kids out of school. They left them open. They saw no, you know, risks. They saw, you know, things didn't increase with teachers getting COVID or whatever. So it's like they had so much data they could have gone off of to not do this to kids, because this is such a critical part of their lives.
Well, it does. There is data that shows that at lost time in school results in a lower lifespan. So that specifically that data has been done around high school dropouts, right? Mm-hmm. So if you drop out of school and you're not exposed to a certain amount of structure in your childhood, that does correlate to a lower life expectancy. So what have we done collectively to an entire generation by just taking a year out of their education, right? And so it becomes this philosophical trade-off of, do we protect elderly people from COVID and prolong their lives, or do we take the lives off of the upcoming generation?
That's a tough question. Say in our chat says, what hasn't the government done? What do you know that they don't know that you can suggest to make the situation better? Well, specifically like what Natalie just talked about. I mean, going into a broad lockdown, removing children from an educational experience lowers their lifespan.
Like, yeah,
that data has existed.
Now,
right?
our children are in an American school in a European country that receives money from the U.S. State Department. In order to be an accredited U.S. school abroad, our children's school had to prove that they could go virtual in the event of an emergency, or else they wouldn't be an accredited American school abroad, right? So they've had an emergency preparedness plan in place for 12 years. So when the pandemic hit, our school was like, oh, we've been ready. The American government made us be ready. So the American government has prepared foreign schools better than it prepared its own schools on home territory. Why is that? So don't tell me that Clayton's pushing me into shot. Don't tell me the American government couldn't have been prepared for this. They absolutely could. They required this of other organizations.
Right. And they had a great response to
and,
it.
And our children never missed one day of school. They did go virtual right away.
And to talk about, I mean, let's talk, I'm not talking about the Biden administration or the Trump administration. I'm talking about the American government. I mean, we don't have internet access for 12 million Americans. We are the best country in the world, and yet we have internet access that ranks below Estonia, for internet speeds and infrastructure. Just go to travel to Europe, travel to other parts of the world where they have like a high speed fiber networks and the United States doesn't. So we knew that our infrastructure was crumbling, and to have an education system, even President Trump just the other day in an interview was saying, American education system is awful. He specifically saying that a week ago in an interview. So we've known that America's education system is a sham. We've known that our institutions and infrastructure have been a sham. And yet we spend $768 billion a year to bomb other countries.
But I think these international schools are a good example of the fact that the government can do it. The government has standards. They have educational standards and emergency plans for American schools abroad, but why not do that on our own soil?
So embassy children can get a great, access to education in other parts of the world, but they can't in the United States. It's amazing you have to go abroad to get good American school education. You don't get it at home. That's sad. Yeah. Really, really sad. So again, and I just want to wrap this story up with, kids under COVID and being under lockdown. As of December 27th, yesterday, the Biden administration is recommending that children too young to be vaccinated should be surrounded by vaccinated people and mask in public indoor spaces, including schools, according to COVID plan on the White House website that I've researched this morning. For those adolescents age 12 and above who are eligible for vaccination, the most important step parents can take is to get them vaccinated, according to the White House website. As of December 27th, the website says that over half of the nation's adolescents have been vaccinated. So again, masking. If you're not vaccinated, then you're going to, keep you separated. And have this you ever is seen those, absolutely hurting children.
Have you ever seen those horrible videos of parents trying to hold masks on a plane on their 2-year-old kids?
It's awful.
It's horrendous.
Yeah.
They're crying and like, come on. And we know the effects of this on children is negligible at best.
I mean, when our 3-year-old wore masks when the pandemic, she's 5 now, but when it first began, she would just chew on it. And then it was a whole soaked piece of saliva cloth. And I was like, that's not helping anybody. What you're doing right now, you're doing it wrong. So there are plenty of times because children in where we live, 7 and under, don't have to wear them. And I'm like, I'm not going to make you, why do that? It's crazy. And I think it will be interesting to keep an eye on this generation because we owe them. We owe them big time, We have to make up for it in their lives at some point, and I don't know exactly how.
No, I don't know when it's going to happen. All right. We have more news to get to here on the show. We're going to talk about ditching the media and why so many people are turning off the tube. But first, you want to tell us about our friends over at Morris Invest? Or how about I do that? You want me to tell? I'll tell
them. Sure.
So Morris Invest, if you're interested in learning about real estate investing and getting started, putting your money to work for you as a performing asset, head on over to we've got a special webinar that we're putting together where you can learn about real estate investing. It's about an hour of your time. We have a few spots left right now. I think we have about 62 spots left. If you go to morrisinvest.com/webinar, you can learn all about investing in real estate, what it means for your financial future, how much money you need for down payments, taxes, what the benefits are for creating positive cash flow and performing assets. If you know nothing about it, this is a great educational experience for you. It's totally free. So go check it out. Again, we're putting on this special webinar. I believe we have a little over 60 spots left. Oh, no, now we're down 59. So people are already signing up. But if you want to go over to, here's the landing page. Again, right there on your screen, morrisinvest.com/webinar. Click on the claim your spot button. And then we're going to jump online and I'm going to take you through all of the process of investing in real estate and what it looks like from the ground up, understanding the best markets in the country and all of those things. So go check it out. Go to morrisinvest.com/webinars right there on your screen and claim your spot today. Oh, we got 57. So a bunch of you already signing up. So that's good.
We appreciate it very much.
We appreciate it. All right.
All right. Well, Americans are ditching their TV news in droves. The same trend applies to print media and print media subscriptions, digital news subscriptions. The numbers are shocking, but you have to juxtapose this with the fact that in 2020, when we had, a major pandemic, we had the Trump-Biden presidential election and all of the polarization that went along with that. We had an impeachment, maybe we forgot, and the start of the, did I say the start
January
of the pandemic?
January 6th riots?
Well, that was in 2021, but still we can lump it in with that.
That era.
Yes, the era. So those things made news media ratings shoot through the roof. And since then, Americans have felt like, I need to turn it off, right? So look at some of these numbers. In 2021, primetime viewership dropped 38% at CNN, 34% at Fox News, and 25% at MSNBC. These numbers according to Nielsen, the rating company. The decline was steep, but still significant at broadcast TV. These are the ones that you don't need a cable subscription for. So specifically, ABC lost 12% viewers, 14% at I'm sorry, 12% at ABC and CBS, and 14% for NBC's nightly news. Same trend, again, for New York Times subscriptions, Washington Post subscriptions. Media analysts are saying, you know, this was to be expected. People were so wound up during this crazy news era of 2020 that they just felt like they needed to let it go. It was predictable. And they think that in some ways, the media made themselves what this one journalism professor at the University of Maryland says, a prisoner of the audience that they built, because they can rile someone up according to one level of conviction bias, right? And then they have to stick with it. They cannot mea culpa. And then those stories phase out and they need more stories in that same vein, right? So it's interesting to see. It does not necessarily account for distrust in the media. It just sort of, the way this story is framed is people are just tired of it. They just got tired of it, right? Not that they stopped trusting it, which is interesting. I don't know, would be more interested to see whether or not people just felt like I'm not getting the real story anymore and I'm going to self-curate my news.
Well, let's be honest too, that this story is published by the Associated Press. So for the Associated Press to come out and be like, people just don't trust the media anymore. I mean, you are the media, Associated Press. And by the way, your news gets handed to all of these major news outlets and they regurgitate what you print. So for them to come out with a big story that says people don't trust the media, but I think that is... Let me ask you guys in the chat, I mean, do you trust the mainstream media? I mean, the whole reason we do this show is to bring you the stories and facts that you're not going to see in the mainstream media, because we don't have a billionaire telling us what to say. We don't have a billionaire agenda telling us what to do. We don't have a Rupert Murdoch. We don't have a Jeff Zucker. We don't have these big Time Warner media companies telling us what to do and what to publish and what stories not cover and what not to publish.
But we also have to suffer the same existential crisis of the fact that people were more prone to come to a show like this when they felt like they were constantly at threat of the Trump administration or COVID or what have you, the January 6th insurrection. And it has sort of settled down. And so we have to juxtapose our need to our desire to have a large audience and a large engaged and meaningful audience, right? Not just bots, not just numbers. And also realize that we cannot just... We what's the saying? Catch flies with honey. We can't...
You catch more flies with honey than you can vinegar.
Right. We can't just rile people up in the same way that the media does for our own self-serving interest. We have to think about the fact that, okay, right now there may not be this massive appetite for news. Can we provide value in a different way? Can we help people think contextually? And what we would like, specifically what we talk about is, how do we not make these mistakes, right? Having both come from the media, we both worked in for these networks that are listed right here.
Well, Cy in the chat,
you're cracking me up.
is basically saying that we've become Fox News on this channel.
So, have we?
That's what, okay. That's what they're saying. Yeah.
Where okay. does that say that?
What does that mean?
It's, I don't know. Like it was way up, but they're saying that basically, like one of the points. Let me see here. Going up.
I'd be curious what he means all, by that, or she means
with,
by that.
With all the pressure on Manchin and progressive issues, did he budge? If Biden then looks for a conservative to get half the price of the bill passed, Clayton and company would complain some more. And yeah, up top they said we were like Fox News now.
Well, here's the thing. Because Fox News would absolutely support a $768 billion defense budget. And think about all of the generals that are on their air on a regular basis, promoting the idea of not leaving Afghanistan, staying in these war zones on a regular basis. We here on this channel, me specifically, am completely anti-war and think that $768 billion defense budget should be not spent on war, should be invested in the United States, lowering taxes, all of those things to make sure that our infrastructure is taken care of. And you know, there's a difference between socialism and social democracy. And what I support is social democracy. You're not going to hear that on Fox News. The word social anything is going to be vilified. And I've been on this show talking about the need to take care of our people, to make sure that our people are taken care of, healthcare, education, free university. That's not something you're going to hear on Fox News. If you do, you'll be laughed off the air.
Look, we follow the mainstream media to see what are the themes that they are trying to promote. And then we try to collectively think about it a little bit more slowly, I suppose. That's what we're working towards, right? So when we sit down and say, oh, should we cover this story that we're going to do next about UFOs or what have you? We'll say, like, what are the mainstream media saying there? Is there anything that we're missing? Is there anything we can provide value by discussing it with you in our chat room?
Right.
And to be fair, sometimes the mainstream media does get it right. There are times when they do
dive in
and do a good job, and we should give them credit for that and to encourage them to do that. Because if we encourage those things, then maybe they'll be like, oh, when we tell the truth, we actually get more viewers.
Right. And so there's going to be stories that I'll agree with Fox, their take on it based on their interviews and facts that they've managed to uncover. For instance, I will praise Tucker Carlson in covering the UFO story. No one else will cover it. And I arguably think it's the biggest story of all time. And there's only one news organization that's really even covering it. And when Tucker has Luis Elizondo on, or he has Nick Pope from the former British Defense Ministry talking about these government programs that are covering up and they're hiding this information, why is he the only one covering this story? So I will praise certain things and then I will chastise them for other things. That's, you know, they're on the air for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So they're going to get some things right. They're going to get some things wrong, just like we do here. So, anyway.
Yeah, I didn't mean for this to be a navel gazing segment about us, but I do think that, yes, if we're going to cover a story like this, we cannot pretend that we're any better than them with our same needs to and desires to have an engaged and meaningful audience. Well, right.
One little button up I do want to say on this is that Kyle Kalinske covered this yesterday. We've been covering it here on this show, which is the tech oligarchy and the mainstream media going to great lengths to squash independent media. And so we are independent media. You know, our channel, what we do here on this show is independent media, and we're independent journalists, and we cover these stories from an independent point of view. We're not bought and sold by billionaires. And YouTube and other major tech oligarchies are going to great lengths to squash independent media, independent voices who would challenge YouTube, who would challenge Twitter, who would challenge Facebook, and they are suppressing content. They are keeping voices quiet. And when you suppress anybody's, I mean, conservative, progressive, it doesn't matter. That's not freedom. I mean, that is not free. You know, you are suppressing voices and you are, in my opinion, hurting democracy, hurting this country.
Agreed.
And that's what's happening right now.
And some of the things, like, there's very important topics that we need to talk about. And it's like there are topics that if we talked about on this channel, we would be banned, suspended and all that other stuff. But yet the mainstream media can cover it in a biased way to their agenda and they get promoted.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So there you go. All right. I want to cover this story now. We've been waiting for NASA to come out and officially say, hey, there are aliens living amongst us. We've been studying them, researching them for years. And we know the drip and drip and drip of government disclosures that we've seen over the past couple of years. Obviously, started with the New York Times piece in 2017, the bombshell report that the government had continued its UFO program for that amount of time. Well, now we're learning this morning that NASA has hired a number of theologians, paid theologians, priests, and others to join its ranks in order to figure out how best to talk to the American people and the world about aliens living amongst us. Why are they doing this? I mean, I could answer it rhetorically, but I'll throw it out to the audience today. Why do you think NASA is spending money hiring priests, theologians, to soften the blow about disclosure, about the fact that we are not alone? Any idiot knows we are not alone in the world, in the universe.
Because if there is this narrative that we exist as humans because of a deity, a single deity, and the mercy of that deity, and which, you know, we'll just call God, right? Because specifically the Christian tradition has a single deity that gave humans life. Mm-hmm. And some people take that very literally, and it precludes any other life forms, such as dinosaurs or otherworldly beings. Not all religion does preclude various levels of existence, but the most popular ones do. And I guess the idea is that this would be very threatening to people who were very connected with the literal interpretation of this inception of humanity.
Specifically in this piece that highlights this, as per the media outlet CTI, they described it as building bridges of understanding by convening theologians, scientists, scholars, and policymakers to think together and inform public thinking or global concerns.
Well, specifically, they think that humans could not handle the truth. Right. And in this age, I think that this goes hand in hand with the previous story about media distrust, that if we literally put a photograph up of some otherworldly being and had like Joe Biden shaking hands with this otherworldly being, people would think it was photoshopped. It was not real. They wouldn't trust it. And they would not be able to break apart any kind of existing dogma. They would just say no, like straight no. You know,
are you talking about that photo where he's shaking hands with Trump?
No, I'm not. Oh. I'm not. And I think we're not supposed to call them aliens now, right? We're supposed to call them otherworldly beings or other,
Demi Lovato.
Yeah. I don't know. We can't call them aliens anymore. But, you know, Carl Pilcher, the head of NASA's Astrobiology Institute, said that the program is considering the implications of applying the tools of the late 20th century and early 21st century to questions that we've been considering in religious traditions for hundreds of years. And I think to Natalie's point, the Catholic Church already started this a number of years ago. The Catholic Church already started talking about releasing information about aliens and how the dogma of the Catholic Church would be affected by realizing that we are not the center of the universe. Mm-hmm. Yes, world religions would be undermined. The Catholic Church isn't the Catholic Church the largest business in the world? Think about it. They are the largest money-making business in the world. That's a business at the end of the day. They make money,
yes.
Right? They run an entire country, the world's smallest country, is, you know, run by the Catholic Church. The amount of money that pours into that business coffers would be completely undermined. So they need to find a way, I think, to gently say, hey, it's okay. We're not alone. I know we told you that we were in our dogma and in our pamphlets and in our books and all mm-hmm. of our religious materials for many, many years. Ignore that. We are not alone. And everyone knows that, and governments have known this for a long time, and presidents of the United States have known this for a long time, and world leaders have known this for a long time. Heck, even Ronald Reagan stood up in front of the United Nations and said, imagine what it would be like if aliens came down and landed on the White House lawn, how all of our worldly problems would dissolve, or we would think jointly instead of being so at each other's throats.
Yes.
Yeah. So
no, what would happen
specifically
is they would capture
this interpretation.
It.
Yeah, I love all the definitions of God and source creation and everything that's being written right now in the chat room. It's beautiful, but specifically the anthropomorphized God that only has a human form and gives life in human form is specifically what would be very threatening to many people's dogma. And it's just so interesting that they feel like there can be this sort of soft launch, like, let's warm them up for this. Have been warmed up for this for a long time.
Because you've been married to me.
I'm fine with it. I'm fine with
all levels of Star Wars, and Star Trek. So come on.
But let me ask you the thing. Go ahead.
This is never going to happen. We're all getting all bent out of shape about nothing. But in the secret depths of space, the Space Force is going to keep them from getting here anyway.
The Space Force.
With our tax dollars in that case.
Yeah.
That's why we gave ourselves such a raise for our defense budget.
We should just point out that this, I'm just curious who in our chat, who watching right now actually thinks that we are it, like we're alone in the universe. I mean, I can't wrap my head around that. It's absolutely naive. You'd have to be completely ignorant of fact or science or physics to think that we are it in this universe. Luis Elizondo was interviewed this past week. He's going to be a guest on my other show on the Paranormal Post coming up soon. I was texting with him the other day, and he just did an interview where he specifically spoke about how the data from people who have interviewed and talked with aliens who've been kept by government sources after Roswell, we're told that basically the world, Earth, is like a zoological experiment for them. That we are literally at the edges of the solar system, and they have been watching us for many, many years, and they've been here, they've been, looking at us, studying us, that we are, of course we're not alone. Of course isn't it. If this is it, what a sad time we've got ahead of us.
No, this is not it. The idea that we are alone and that human existence is the only level of existence, that actually puts me in a deeper depression than the idea of aliens. Because I don't intend to reincarnate as a human anymore. I'm going to be off planet next life, guys.
Yes, I've decided. Wrestler X says, okay, I want to unsubscribe now that you said that. I know I'm joking. But what upset you? That you think that we're alone? You really think that we're alone? Based on all of the overwhelming evidence about it? And all of these government officials and generals who on their deathbeds admitted to being a part of these programs, who admitted reverse engineering of alien craft, admitted to recovering alien bodies, like generals, colonels in the U.S. military, presidents of the United States. All right. There's enough overwhelming evidence. The thing about aliens, Wrestler X. Don't worry about it, Wrestler. You'll be okay. Yeah.
About...
Because that we're a petri dish.
He wants to be alone.
Yeah,
He wants to be alone. You want to be it.
He's like, I don't want to be anywhere. All right.
I mean, if you think about it, humans is the only level of existence. We can't even fly. We have so many limitations. I got to think that there's
trouble tying our shoes.
There's got to be another level of existence where it's just a bit more awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of awesome, we're going to tell you what's trending before we get you out of here. Are you ready?
Yes. Let's do it.
Okay. Lindsay Ellis is trending. She's a YouTube star who quit Twitter this week after she was incessantly harassed for this tweet. Specifically, this tweet was months ago, but she's still being harassed about it. She says that the plot of Raya and the Last Dragon was basically Avatar, The Last Bender.
Airbender.
And people called her a racist for this specific thing.
So she's got canceled over this tweet?
Yes, she has been dragged into the public arena of cancer culture over this tweet. And finally, she just said, I quit. I quit Twitter. I'm tired of you saying crappy things to me. I'm out. Most people on Twitter now, because of her departure, are defending her and saying that the harassment she faced was out of line and basically cancel culture has jumped the shark. She did not say anything.
I agree with her. I watched it. I agree. I can see exactly what she's saying, and that's not
cancel to you too. Then,
yeah.
Yes, I think because Raya and the Last Dragon, which is a beautiful movie, and was one of it broke barriers because it was the first full Asian cast, I think, and it was an Asian plot. It was great to see that those people.
And that's not even saying that's a bad movie.
She said nothing about the characters or anything. Yeah. It was just about the plot.
About the genre.
Specifically about the plot.
Oh.
Like she's saying that plot was like this one, right? And so
We should. We could say. I could say the same thing. Like, you know, we, how many movies have copied like the or the Joseph Campbell Hero's Journey? Right. It's, it all comes back to that anyway.
Exactly.
Right? So
we should. Dances with Wolves. That was like Avatar too.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. The movie Splash was like The Little Mermaid, yep. But not really.
Canceled.
Sorry. Okay. Hashtag Who Are You is trending because that's the name of the latest single from Thai rapper Bam Bam. It's that third one. Is yep. One? That's them. And it features, I'm sorry, I can't pronounce her name. So anyway, this is a big single on the internet right now.
Okay.
Snow squall is trending after the second snow squall warning was issued in just 2 days in northern Utah. People are Googling, how is a snow squall different from a snow storm? The answer is that a snow squall is a sudden and intense burst of a snowstorm with very limited visibility. If it looks like that, guys, don't go out if you absolutely can avoid it.
I don't like squalls.
Amy Schumer is trending because the actress and comedian said she was getting her face fillers dissolved on Instagram. You see the picture of her?
I now, did.
This is very interesting because she had these face fillers put in and she said she looked like Maleficent. You know, the Angelina character where they put stuff in her face. And she's saying, you know what? I didn't like it. Turns out you can dissolve these because it's some kind of chemical that dissolves with this kind of chemical. And so she's undoing that. This, you guys, don't mess around with your face if you can avoid it. I don't think that sounds casual. She's like, yeah, I can just dissolve it with this. I put a chemical in and I can dissolve it with this chemical. That's scary, but people are saying, oh, good for you for not for undoing that. I'm going to say good for those of us who are not doing that.
Wait a minute. So she put face fillers in.
Yes.
To do what?
To, well,
she needed a fuller
if you
face?
Have wrinkles and you put fillers underneath, it stretches those wrinkles without having so that you.
Okay.
You know.
So how's that different than like Botox?
It's similar.
So you're just like shoving stuff into your face with like an injection to give
yes.
you like chipmunk cheeks. And then she's putting like a cream on there.
To dissolve the chemical that was the resultant of the fillers.
Okay. I think Mike Lindell makes those. They're called cheek pillows.
Yeah.
By the way, guys, if we are alone in the universe, like this is a sad commentary. Like this goes back to our alien conversation. Like, come
on. Whether to applaud her for this or not, because it's like you did something that a lot of people do, and that's fine. And you're being very transparent about undoing it. So does that empower other people to not do that? I don't know. I'm
fine
with her.
You've given a lot of thought to this.
Too much.
Yeah.
Obviously, too much. Too much. Because, you know, this is your face, you guys, messing with your face. And I guess what I'm asking is, that does this promote self-love or not? So whatever that message, however that lands on you, hopefully it empowers you to look how you look with love.
That's the whole thing. Like I wish that people would age gracefully. Cause I think there's nothing more beautiful than like a natural, like look at Michelle Pfeiffer. She's hasn't done anything to herself and she's still gorgeous. But the lot of the actresses that you see that have done things over time and the men, I mean, look at Mickey Rourke. That have done things to their face. Yeah. They just don't look real.
Well, did you watch that Christian Slater show? Was it the second season of on?
Oh, Dirty John.
Dirty John.
Yeah. Like,
Dirty John, by the way, an excellent show. So good if you listen to the podcast first. But anyway, the second season of Dirty John is about Christian Slater is the one of the stars. And Amanda Peet. Amanda Peet, you can did not do any work, right? She looks beautiful.
She was gorgeous.
Yeah.
And Christian Slater got work done. You can see his like face is like pulled back and like, you know, just don't do it. And like Sex and the City, right?
I don't want to talk about it. But yes. I don't want to call out actresses that we think and actors that we think have done stuff to their faces because.
Okay. Well, let's go back to this
I
one
think that
where we know that she has.
She did it on purpose. The rest of them.
Okay.
I want to be sensitive to that and also just help to promote.
Sensitive.
Because if someone has ripped apart their face thinking that this is going to improve their lives and the rest of us are staring like it's a car crash, that doesn't help, right? What are the words that we should say that encourage people to age gracefully?
Just
say those things.
You think you're beautiful. We think you're beautiful. Don't need to put fillers in your face or cut your face up and
where
stretch
it. Where this needs to happen is at the where in the movie companies, they need to quit telling these women, you need to lose weight. You know, you're getting a little bit too wrinkly for these roles. I think it's because they're scared they're going to lose roles if they don't look like they did when they were 20.
Yeah.
So I have someone in my life who was trying to make a point that they wanted to work in the entertainment industry and needed some cosmetic surgery. And I want to rebut that with the fact that last year's Oscar winner was Frances McDormand, who played a middle-aged lady, and she looked like a middle-aged lady, and she was fantastic in that role. Mm-hmm. And so whatever you think, you know, I'm going to say this.
Yeah, does this look like someone who needed to have, I mean, this was the role in Nomadland, right? Yeah. She won for that.
Yes. Okay, let me just say this. I read that book, Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom by Christiane Northrup, and she does give some data that shows that women who have cosmetic surgery for themselves recover much better than women who do it for other societal pressures to get a man, to keep a man, whatever that is. So whatever you are doing for or to yourself, I hope that it is something that you do not for outside pressure. That's all I'm going to say.
Well said. Okay.
Do what you want to do.
Well said.
Okay. Finally, The Batman is trending because a new trailer for the upcoming Robert Pattinson movie was released on Monday.
Yes.
And
it's awesome.
I can't wait to see that movie.
Oh, I can't either.
Yeah.
I was like, I was one of the people at the very beginning that was like, I think he's going to make a great Batman in spite of whatever. Like, just like seeing that one part with him with the makeup on, I was like, yes.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people, you remember the criticism of Michael Keaton at the beginning. People were like, how? No way. Michael Keaton?
Well, and Ben Affleck, he got it really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. And did we know Zoe Kravitz was Catwoman?
No, I mean, I knew we knew a Catwoman was in it. We didn't know. I don't know.
But, yeah, I do like.
I don't know.
I did
the,
not know
the
that.
The tidbits of her in the trailer are interesting.
Yeah.
I
and
don't
the Riddler,
like.
We don't know. I don't think we know. I don't want to know. But I don't think we know who the Riddler is yet. We looked on IMDb to see if we could find the Riddler's name.
Listed.
We don't know who the Riddler is. It's certainly not Jim Carrey, probably, who played the Riddler in those terrible Joel Schumacher Batman films. But I'm very excited for this. It's supposed to be like a horror movie, like gritty, dark horror, you know, thriller. So
I'm going to make a guess. I think it's Tom Holland.
You think it's Tom Holland as the Riddler?
No, I'm just kidding. Could you imagine him as a villain?
At first I misheard you and I was thinking it would have been, what's his name who played
Tom
Venom?
Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy.
Who I was going to say first, but he already played Bane, right?
Yeah, but his voice, it sounds like him a little bit.
I was trying to figure out from the voice.
I'm super
excited. I'm going to let you know that I'm not interested in this. I probably won't go
with you.
Not for me.
Oh, you're going to go with me. You're going with me to see a Batman movie.
No, thanks. I didn't see the last ones. I didn't see any of the Ben Affleck ones. No, I'm not interested.
Those aren't really Batman movies.
Yeah.
If I have to go to that, I'm dragging you to something with subtitles.
Okay. I'll go to a rom-com. I'll go to a rom-com.
No, not a rom-com. Something like periodic and sad and subtitled.
That's all she watches. Yeah, it'll be like, it won't be just Queen about Elizabeth like, it won't be like, it'll be like some genocide movie from the 1600s or something.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, I got to get out of here, you guys. And so do you. Thank you for joining us. Be sure you're subscribed to morninginvest.com to our newsletter. And we will see you back here tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. All right, everyone. Much love to all of you. We'll see you back here once again. Peace.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.